Have you ever struggled to keep your project stakeholders engaged and invested in the project success? Listen, I'm gonna be honest with you, family. You're not alone. Many project managers face the challenge of effectively communicating with and involving their stakeholders throughout the project lifecycle. But what if I told you that by implementing a few strategies, you could significantly improve your stakeholder engagement and increase the likelihood of project success? In today's episode, we're going to provide you some recommendations to improve your relationships with stakeholders. But wait, I have to be honest with you. All of them are not foolproof, or I should say fail-proof. So you may run into some stakeholders that literally, you can't do anything with, and now you're going to have to make an adjustment. You're going to have to adapt. So, today's episode, we're going to cover, as you know, some of those points. If you're new to the episode, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means Ed. I have an 8-point framework, and these 8 points, my goal, my mission, my job here today is to unpack today's title, which is entitled How to Improve Stakeholder Engagement. Again, how to improve stakeholder engagement. You mind if I share a story with you? Here's a quick quote from my father. My dad would always say what you mean and mean what you say. You see, you have to understand, one of our toughest challenges in leading projects will always be our stakeholders, whether they're against you, whether they're for you, or whether they're in between. And the reason why I say that, family, is that a lot of times we forget that point of our stakeholders. We'll have the audacity to skip over certain stakeholders thinking we don't need them, but that is the wrong approach. We will have the audacity not to even make a connection with them on a personal level, which that is a mistake as well. So today I want to unpack these 8. I got a couple bonuses for you. I'm going to over deliver today, as you know I will, but I really want you to pay attention to this, family. If there's no other episode that you've ever paid attention to, today's episode is one of those, because when you get this right, you're going to be further along than most project managers. Let's move on to point number one. Point number one, prioritize active listening. Listen, active listening means you're demonstrating a respect and value for your stakeholder contributions, fostering a more open and trusting engagement. Here's an actionable step for you, family. Practice active listening in all stakeholder communications, ensuring you understand their perspective before fully responding. A lot of times you can tell those individuals that when you are articulating yourself, whether it's through verbal or written, mostly verbal because you probably can't do this through written, but through a verbal conversation, you can kind of tell when someone is already hoaxing up or putting together, I should say, a response. And you're like, man, they're not really paying attention. They're not really actively involved, meaning, hey, let me speak, let me say my piece, and then you sit back and listen and then provide a response. But when you're actively thinking of a response, that means you may miss something along of what I'm saying. So what I'm recommending is practice active listening in all stakeholder communication so you can get their perspective first. Point number two, set and manage boundaries. Listen, while stakeholder engagement is definitely crucial, it's also important to manage those boundaries to ensure project progress isn't hindered by over-involvement. This is what I recommend, family. Here's an actionable step. Clearly define the scope of stakeholders' involvement and decision-making progress. One of the templates I want to recommend to you, family, is using a RAID queue log. What is a RAID queue log? I've shared this before. RAID queue log, and this is my version of it: risk, action items, issues, decisions, and questions. The reason why I say that is because when you have a RAID queue log, you have the opportunity to really set and manage boundaries. Because if we make a decision collectively as a group, or I should say a project team, and we document that, when it comes back up, if something comes back up, we can refer to this. But wait a minute, I gotta expound on this a little bit more. Because see, I read something today where a particular project manager, they actually documented it extremely well. You know what we talk about here is documentation over conversation. Well, they did exactly that. They did documentation over conversation. However, the leader still threw them under the bus because of the fact that they really weren't paying attention, meaning the leader. And so what you have to do in this situation, this is why it's imperative. A matter of fact, it's required that you're constantly in front of your leadership. You're constantly giving detailed information for them. And we're going to touch on some of those anyway. Point number three, use language that resonates. Hey, you know what we say here, family. Know your audience. You know, sometimes I've been guilty of it as well, where I will speak in terms that I'm like, you could tell that the stakeholders is confused because I'm speaking, I may be speaking project management jargon. I may be speaking technical jargon that is not applicable, or I should say may be applicable, excuse me. However, they're still not catching it. So one of the things is you want to ensure, or I should say an actionable step, is tailor your language to match the stakeholders' level of expertise, as well as, this is the key right here, an interest. I mean, hey, a lot of people will be on your calls and you're sitting there, is like, okay, well, why are you here? But they may serve a need. And so you want to ensure that you can address those two pieces, meaning the level of expertise and the level of interest in the project. Point number four, ensure accessibility in engagement. Listen, what you want to do is ensure, family, that stakeholders have an equal opportunity to participate regardless of physical or technical or technology barriers. What does that mean? You want to review all engagement methods for materials that can be accessed. One of the things I recommend when you are dealing with various stakeholders, and I'll speak from on-site and virtual. So on-site, what you want to do is ensure that there's some type of transparency or some type of two-way communication that you guys can stay involved in. So if you have a meeting with a stakeholder or stakeholders, that information is circulated around to other stakeholders as well, whether it's a SharePoint, a share file, a Dropbox, whatever that tool is. And I'm going to touch on that as well, but you want to ensure that they have the accessibility. And the same thing for virtual. You want to be able to create that window, or I should say that window of opportunity, that the information that you're sharing is just not with those stakeholders, unless it is something that is confidential or private. Other than that, if it's not, you want to make sure your stakeholders are all up to par with what's going on. This is a big one, and I struggle with this, so pray for me, family. I'm going to keep working through it, but develop empathy for stakeholders' perspective. You know, how this came about is one day I was in a CIO meeting, and these stakeholders I've been working with on various projects came to the meeting, and I'm, you know, they're going over the projects and different things like that. And they were like, give it up, give a round of celebration, applause for this particular team here. They've been literally, they've been leading like 10 projects, a part of 10 projects. And I'm like, wow, like I'm not even knowing this. And so what I learned from that, just that incident, I even circled back with the leader of that team and I was like, hey, I really apologize for being, you know, really aggressive on ensuring that we're meeting our dates. I said, you know, it would have been nice though if you would have let me know you had 9 other projects you were working on, because that would have gave me an understanding. And he said, yeah, you know, I should have done better there. So we both apologized to each other because we didn't know what we didn't know. Like, I didn't know he was working on 9 other projects and then mine made it 10. And he didn't know that the urgency that I was needing for the project that I was needing, because I kept pushing. So you want to make sure that understanding stakeholder views and concerns on a deeper level can really, really improve the engagement of the overall project, family. Point number six, continually assess and adapt engagement strategies. Listen, one of the things is you want to do is regularly evaluate the effectiveness of stakeholder engagement efforts. Adapt, Like, adapt engagement strategies based off of feedback and changing project requirements. You know, one of the things is that sometimes we can get in our own way, project managers, project coordinators, program managers, and portfolio managers. We can get in our own way by saying it has to be da 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 this. Well, the reason why we're, and I'll give you examples. So if we met every day because we're working through something in a meeting, and we're saying, and we're like, you know, and the stakeholders are like saying, hey, that's meeting every day is I'm not getting a chance to get the work that I need to get done. And we're still like, no, we're going to meet every day. No, if they're saying this, we have to give them some type of grace. We have to give them some type of opportunity to allow, hey, well, what do you recommend? And we start from there. Now, if it's something crazy like, well, let's meet once a month, well, no, that's too outlandish. But if they're saying, hey, can we, instead of meeting every day, can we meet every other day? That'll give me a time to actually work on and execute on the things you're asking of me. So we have to have that flexibility and find ways to engage our stakeholders. Point number seven, establish a clear purpose for engagement. Listen, I'm gonna be honest with you, family. You wanna clarify with your stakeholders how crucial it is for your project, aligning both the project goals and the stakeholder values. This is what I would recommend. Create a statement of purpose for your engagement efforts. This purpose truly can be communicated at the onset of stakeholder interaction, ensuring alignment and shared objective. See, when we have a shared objective and we know the priority of this shared objective, there's no gray area. There's no, well, I didn't know. No, you know what it is. This is what it is, and this is what we're looking to accomplish. So we want to ensure that we do that, family, is that we are setting, we are establishing, we are putting that line in the sand, as they would say, as a clear purpose of engagement. Point number eight, message. You want to address concerns and conflicts promptly. You don't want to wait. You don't want to sit on this. You don't want to think it over 10 years from now. You want to get in there fast, but you always want to use what I talked about in point number one, which is actively listen to your stakeholders' concerns and address them in a timely manner. One of the things I always recommend is having an open discussion to seek mutual beneficial solutions to the actual conflicts. I always tell you, I don't care if you're leading a project and you don't have any conflicts. And again, subjective, but I don't believe it's a real project because of the fact that there's not one project that I've ever led that I didn't have some type of conflict in it, whether it was on a small level or a blowout argument. And I don't want to use the word argument. I'll say discussion. But yes, family, you want to ensure that you have these discussions and if you can, I recommend us having it in a safe place that is not more of a gossip type of discussion afterwards. It's this person said this, we disagree. How do we find a happy medium, or do we need to escalate this? Here's my first bonus for you, family. Provide regular updates and progress reports. You know, one of the things you want to ensure do is keeping stakeholders informed about project milestones, achievement, risk, issues, challenges, all of the above. Why am I saying that? Because what you do not want to do, because what happens a lot of times, you can schedule a meeting and most people are not going to look at what the meeting is about. Why are they there? They're just going to show up and say, what is this meeting about? Unless they can tell by the title, but they're not going to go into the body of the meeting invite to say, oh, well, this meeting is about X, Y, and Z and come prepared. No, I know in an ideal world, that would be great, but no, that normally doesn't happen. So you want to ensure that they're fully aware. So in case they're talking to somebody, a leader or their direct or their manager or even their direct report, that is not a lost conversation. What is a lost conversation saying? Hey, how was that meeting that you had with Ed? Oh, it was great. What did you guys talk about? You know, we're talking about the project, okay, but what about the project? So what you want to ensure, do one of the tips that I always do, family, when I have a meeting with my stakeholders, I don't send a meeting recap that same day. Now it varies, but the majority of the time I send it the day after, because I live by this mile. I was like, well, they probably slept. They may not remember. Now, if it's some action items that need to be taken care of that day, then I send it that day. But I try to send it the next day because it re-engages the stakeholders to say, Oh yeah, that's right. I did. I do need to. I do remember that conversation. Or they could even extract from it if they're talking with the leadership. All right, here's my next bonus for you, family. Provide personalized attention to key stakeholders. I know what you're saying. I can see you guys already, even though I can't see you. I know what you're saying. Like, man, why do I gotta personalize my engagement with stakeholders? I'm gonna ask you this question back. Do you want to have a successful project? I mean, if you do, then there's going to be certain stakeholders that may need a little extra handholding, that may need a little bit more TLC, as we'll say. But seriously, family, you want to take some extra time out, time and effort to really build strong relationships, especially with these key stakeholders, because you'll learn over time that if you don't, and they start getting further and further away where they stop showing up to meetings, and you want to be able to build that bridge so they feel comfortable walking across. And my last and final bonus is provide stakeholders with self-service options. One of the things I've seen is that project managers, project coordinators, basically in this field that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, get caught up in a control thing where they don't provide self-servicing option. What is a self-service option? I kind of touched on it. A SharePoint site. So for instance, when you get done sending out your meeting recap, you have a folder that you put that meeting recap in. If you have a project schedule, or if you have a project report, that you're putting it in a centralized location where you're not a bottleneck. They know where exactly where the information is, and they can go and extract it, where they're not waiting on you or pointing the finger and say, "Well, I couldn't access the information because, you know, Ed was he was on vacation, or he was out sick, or he was go." None of that. You eliminate all of those excuses and say, "Well, you remember where I showed you where this was at." All right, family, my three closing remarks. Here's my first one. You want to ensure you develop, my favorite out of everything I discussed, here are the three. Developing empathy for a stakeholder's perspective. As I mentioned about the story where I didn't know that that stakeholder was leading 10 projects or part of 10 projects. So it taught me the importance of developing empathy for a particular stakeholder, and but it has to be a two-way street. We have to be continually communicating. And you know, maybe he didn't feel comfortable saying, "Hey, I'm dealing with 9 other projects," that he was just trying to lead everything, not knowing it was also impacting us. So we have to create that open dialogue. Point number two, prioritizing active listening. Listen, active listening really truly demonstrates your respect and value for your stakeholders' contributions. So you want to, anytime you have an opportunity to practice active listening, you're not formulating a response, you're actively engaged in a conversation by listening first before you respond. Point number three, using the language that resonates. Again, also known as know your audience. There's going to be opportunities, family, where you may be talking to a non-technical crowd and you may need to be able to articulate what's going on in the project. You may be talking to a technical crowd. You need to be able to effectively articulate that, and et cetera. So again, family, just know your audience when you're speaking. I truly hope you enjoy today's episode. You know my name. I go by the name of ED. Until next time, I'm out.